All right, now welcoming to the studio at the moment is Danny and Simon from SMP. Welcome.
G'day.
Hang on, I've got to do this too. Oh, I'm having one of those days.
There we go. We're on. How's it going?
No. You know what, I forgot my phone, so I was too busy trying to keep an eye on everything, yeah. And equipment doesn't always go the way you want it to.
Yeah, you might have to get onto them to update some stuff here.
Oh, I don't know.
Maybe my USB's a bit older, I don't know.
No, I don't think so, because it picked it up next door, and there are older equipment in there.
Yeah, I did it all before we came, just edited it for you, like usual.
I know, he's very good to me.
Gave it a few radio edits.
Got rid of the F-bangers and put in a few shotguns.
Oh, I love that. I've got to get a copy of that, because I have a few others.
It works
and
for it.
I've gone and looked. I'm going to pay for them, I've gone and looked for the what? Never one like yours.
No, we got a lot of collection of samples for stuff, and with our style of music, the gunshots seem to work well for putting them in to take out a swear word, I guess.
Yeah, well,
it still gives the punch of something.
That's
without saying the word.
Yeah, and it works well for hip hop, doesn't it?
And you know, you don't have to be a genius to figure out what we're about to say.
No, that's right.
It's just doing the right thing if we can.
Oh, and I do appreciate it. It definitely helps me out, that's for sure. All right, now, I did a little bit of research on how many times you've been here, and this will be the seventh time.
Lucky seven, wow.
Yeah, lucky seven.
Done a few of these now.
Yeah, we're just old hand at it.
What was the first one? Was it Darren May?
Still
around?
Yeah. He brought you in because his show wasn't up and running yet, I don't think.
Yeah, I reckon, you were still here, I reckon.
Oh, yeah.
Holding his hand. And because it was, like you said, it was early days. And I reckon we were promoting maybe that show, or was it before that?
Oh, the big one. The one down at Sound System. Yes, that's right.
We did that show down there with Nunga Style and a few other acts.
Yeah, that was a big
brain
show.
Is mush.
Why is it a mush?
I don't remember. I mean, I remember coming here, but all right, we did have Darren and we were doing something.
DJ was with us.
Oh, geez. See, that's what I mean. I remember.
It was the Northern Sound System show, I reckon.
Mush Brain.
And it was a pretty exciting show for us because we were headlining that one and playing with longtime friends, Nunga Style.
Yes.
So that was cool to finally do a gig with them. So, yeah.
Oh, no. It was excellent. Actually, it was good because for me, I've only probably been really knowing maybe the American style of hip hop and all that sort of stuff.
That's where we kind of slide in, I guess you would say.
Yeah.
Combination of
a bit of
all
each.
Sorts of a bit of a mongrel hip hop group.
We don't
fit the normal bracket. I guess we've said that probably 100 times.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. Well, at least seven.
at least seven. Yeah, we don't fit the normal bracket. But at the same time, we didn't come up by most of the young cats these days, so.
No, that's right. They're in another.
Our influences are totally different to theirs.
Yeah, that's right. We can understand.
The world's changing and the music's changing a lot.
Yes.
There's a lot of music out there these days by younger cats that I actually vibe with, you know. For a long time, I didn't vibe with a lot of stuff that was coming out underneath us or around us. Like, not saying there wasn't respect to it, but it just wasn't what we necessarily gravitated towards.
It wasn't our thing.
Yeah. No.
But a lot these days, and that's why I guess, over the years you go back and you listen, we started collaborating with New Zealand artists and it kind of felt a lot more like home. And I don't know if that's because I come from there and Simon being influenced by joining a group with me. And so, it's hard to describe where we really founded the sound, but we've just run with it.
But that's okay. That's good. I mean, it doesn't really matter where you get the taste for it, I guess, but it's still your unique.
We created our own niche market, and as funny as it is, a lot of artists that we played gigs with when we first started doing hip hop, they don't exist anymore. And even if they did exist now, their sound probably wouldn't fit in.
No.
Whereas we kind of never really cared to.
You didn't want to be part of the main.
We didn't want to be a part of it. We always wanted to be a part of it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So we always were a part of it, and we allowed people, not allowed, but we encouraged people to come to our studio. We like to collaborate with Aussie artists at the beginning.
Yes, that's right.
And, well, not at the beginning, for a fair chunk of our career, we collaborated with our friends, I guess.
Yeah.
But our styles were never on par. It wasn't until we actually you know, started being mentored, I guess, by the big homie Monster Ganja, and working with artists like Chico and our good friend Golden. And
yes,
you know, those kind of dudes kind of made us realize that we don't have to, you know. And we had a niche market, and we played the gigs with, like I said, with artists that were strictly the way they felt they had to be, and we were the way we thought we needed to be.
Yes.
But we always had our niche market. We never played a show where people didn't bob their head. We never played a show where people didn't love us. We didn't play a show where our sales, our streams, our albums, you know, none of it.
Yeah.
You know, we've always got to a point, you know, and we've always created our own niche market. And even to the point now where, like you said yourself, you're searching for our Facebook page and that. And we don't have one anymore. But we don't need one because at the end of the day, our niche market, those few hundred people, to whatever they are, like, you know, they always look for us.
Yes.
Because we've already created.
I did, but I had to go and dig deep in it. Yeah. But you're personal friends of mine, so.
Yeah, we created that niche market and we ran with it.
Yeah.
And especially in the last 3 or 4 years, I guess you could say that we've written the albums we always wanted to.
Yeah.
Back then, you're always pressured by, well, not pressured, but you always, like you said, want to be a part of something.
Yeah.
So you kind of just subconsciously, I guess, you know, gravitate towards it, and
without even trying to, you kind of conform a bit. But I guess at the end of the day, you can't change your influences.
No.
Yeah. Whereas
you have to be true, don't you, to what you want to produce.
I feel after we retire. That's a silly word. Right. We didn't retire. We put it down for a good 9 months to a year.
Yeah.
And after we started X and started working with a lot of New Zealand people and kind of just pushing my music over there because that's where I'm from.
Mm.
And the reception was like crazy. Yes. And then to get collaborations with people we did relatively unknown.
Yeah.
So basically they worked with us because of the producers we were working with. And they were like, oh, these dudes are good. Like, you know, and we worked with them and they sent us back verses and we'd just be blown away. And so since then we started writing the albums we wanted to, not the albums. And that's what we took a step back in a sense. Where a local artist would, you know, I encourage local artists to get out there and play gigs and become a part of the scene.
Yeah.
But we kind of did it for our earlier career, and then we got to a point where it was like, well, that doesn't that doesn't interest us anymore. We want to do music where we feel like, you know, the music we feel we want to do, and if that's what it is, and you got to. Here we are.
Well, you've got to be happy. You've got to be happy too. It's not all, I mean, I know it's about the person that on the other side listening, but it also has to be about the person making it.
Yeah, well, I've always said that to Simon. Like, at the end of the day, like, I mean, the gratitude and everything that we've received, and it's fantastic. At the end of the day, me and Simon, we're happy if no one listens to it. It's more about the journey for us. We got mates that collaborate with us and come to the studio and all of that. And it's just, it's been a massive journey. And so it's not always about like you said, like, you know, we've somehow created this niche market and people keep coming back. Yeah. So that's fantastic. And when we release something, you know, there's always a few people, a handful of people, whatever, they come back to us. And like I said, we'll play a song a bit later, which is tells how our music traveled to places we never thought it would. But it did.
Well,
like,
it did. And
so, but like getting back to what I'm saying, at the end of the day, like we've always really just written music for ourselves because like my favorite rapper that I work with is Simon, like and I don't just say that,
same
like,
goes
it's just we love writing music together and we're grateful that we have friends singers rappers that have been our friends and they've helped us create, and at the end of the day that's more what it is for me. It's like when I stop doing this stuff, maybe whenever that is, if I ever stop doing this stuff. But I've always had a sign, like, we put this in the catalogue is for when we're 50,
and 55, sit back and 60, you can play
to
them.
Sit back and play it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it lets us relive those moments. And it's funny, but, like, one way, being 40 now, one way that I always kind of remember things is, like, me and Simon think about something, like, and it'd be something totally different. We'd be like, what album were we doing at that point?
Yes.
And when I think of the album, it brings back what I was doing at that point in my life. And and even, you know, even what I'm saying and the way I'm saying it, the more ignorant it is or whatever, I know that it's younger and the older I get, like
it changes.
And
and that's it's a really journey.
What our music is the soundtrack to our life. And we're grateful that people love it.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, like it really is the soundtrack to our life. Like, and it's been fun. Like,
well, that's the other main thing. It has to be fun too.
It's the journey.
It is a journey.
It's always the journey.
It is a journey. Now, I remember, I think I had a little bit of a listen of our last interview together, and I think we were talking about X, but you had a little bit of stash put aside
last,
to make another one.
The last time we came in, I reckon we had just, there was a time there where we did the Bad Guys and the Big Show.
Yes.
Now, essentially, we explained this last time, but they were meant to be one album.
Mm-hmm.
So we had started writing an album, and as always, along the way, we picked up every Larry and Harry.
The project got bigger.
Yeah, and it got bigger and got bigger and bigger, and it became 20 songs. Well, I think we had about, 17?
Yeah, maybe more. Maybe. Who knows?
We had a few songs. And I remember, because we're old school, we still like making CDs. Probably the last imbeciles still making CDs.
We
love them. But yeah, I know, but in the hip-hop industry.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Because hip-hop
music, and not just hip-hop, electronic music is so, people digest it differently these days.
Yeah,
you know, it's true. Not like we used to go get the album, we'd open up the case, we'd read the lyrics, we'd be
exactly.
You know, you would listen to the album from start to finish.
Yes.
So our mindset's still the same. We want to write albums. And we've met people along the way that have tried to influence us to the point where you need to do this, you need to have a song, you know, artwork, do this. And but we're still stuck in the way that we want to make CDs and all of that. And getting back to the point, it's like, with those two albums, I think we had about 17 songs, and we said to each other, how long is this?
Doesn't fit on a CD.
Doesn't fit on a CD. And to us, that was the breaking point. It was like, we can't do that. We're not doing a double disc. I mean, we could have, but that wasn't
but
what
you didn't
want
to go there. That means different kinds of cases you had to buy and all sorts of things.
So we reached the Big Show, and we basically said the 10 best songs, that's the Big Show, and then whatever's left over we'll finish. And that's when the Bad Guys came.
Yes.
But I reckon the last time we were here, because I was just looking at it earlier today as well, because I was going back and I was like, what songs did I take in last time? I'm trying to think. And looking at the songs that we brought in, it was like, the Bad Guys. So we brought in a couple of songs of the Bad Guys and a couple of songs off of an EP that I did myself, which was 38 Summers.
Right. Yeah.
And I think, even though it was called 38 Summers, I think we released it when I was 39.
By the time it was done.
I reckon that was what we were doing last time we were here.
Mm.
And then, like I said to you just before, I reckon we'd all even started work on it when we were here last time, if it was just gathering beats, was the album.
We're storing stuff.
The album that we did, Raw Laps, which was a big honour because the guy that we rap with a lot and was one of the first New Zealand rappers to kind of take a chance, and do a song with us and inspired us to reach out and all of that, was Alpha. And see, he's stopped rapping as such. I don't think he's stopped, but he's gone more into the production side and has his kids even singing on some of the songs and all of this. So he's gone a different element.
Mm.
So he started writing a lot of beats.
Mm.
And he hit us up, I reckon it was not long after we were here or if before we were here, and was like, I really want to write an EP for you guys where I write all the beats.
That's
I'll jump on a few songs, I'll sing, you know, but I'm not going to rap. And me and Simon were like, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny because the album's called Raw Laps, and basically me and Simon and Mikey Kuchester, we did an album together donkeys ago, like when we first started, and not when we first started, no, it would have been
2013.
I think it was later than that, 14. 14? I think he's on the money. I think it was 13, around 14, there. Somewhere around. It's the first album we kind of played a few songs live, and we hated the sound of that album.
The production of the beats, they weren't kind of to the sound that we normally like.
Okay.
Like, and
The quality that you...
It wasn't that the songs
weren't put together poorly, got used to a certain style of beat, and these kind of weren't and that was always kind of... it's kind of the album that we never went back and listened to.
Right.
But we still like the songs.
Yeah.
So what do you do in that case?
Yeah, Simon's perfect. Like the songwriting was always really good, and it was one of the first albums Mikey Kuchester, I call him Mikey because he's a brother to me, but people know him as Kuchester. It was one of the first albums we did where we had him involved in every song.
Mm-hmm.
And like Simon said, like it wasn't, shout out to Walt, to Poetic Beats. Like, you know, at the time, he lent us a hand. But like Simon said, we did a lot of albums and all of that, and we always were about a certain sound. And it just didn't ever fit the quota. But the songwriting, I always felt, was, like, exceptional. Like, the songwriting itself was exceptional, but it just didn't translate the way we wanted to 5 years later.
Yeah. And right? I shouldn't have said quality. I should have said sound.
It was I know what you mean, though. Yeah. It's just, everyone has different words for whatever they use. But we'd always thought to ourselves, that's the album. Yeah, it's the one album we don't really go back to and listen to. And it's not out of disrespect for the songs or the. It just didn't fit the criteria.
Yeah.
And so when Alpha was keen to do this, I remember hearing a couple of the beats and thinking like, oh, you know, like these beats, like they almost sound like they should have, I don't even know the right word to think of. But when we started thinking about Raw, which is what the album was called, it was an early album called Raw. And these ones we thought, oh, you know, we could combine this. Like, you know what I mean? We could make this album listenable, like, because the songwriting's great. So we basically did. We took parts of that album.
Yes.
Because we've never, well, I mean, not never. We released Raw back in 2014, whenever it was.
Yes.
And we had hard copies. So there's people out there who have copies of it. We never uploaded it live. Like, we never really pushed it. It's not on our streaming platforms. It's none of that.
Okay.
So it's kind of, like Simon said, it's perfect. It's the forgotten album.
Right.
So we wanted, but we always feel like the songs were too good to forget. Like, so that's what we did with that album. We took some of the songwriting from that album and revamped it with the beats that Alpha's done. I mean, we added new stuff. It's not just straight the same album.
No, no, no.
Like, we added new stuff, built it up.
Yes.
Got Mikey back in. And Mikey, like, you know, what Mikey is now and what Mikey was back then. I mean, he's always been a talent, but he, you know, he's taken it to another level. His skills now are exceptional, like, as a songwriter, and he's reimagined his parts.
Yeah,
and, I mean, the song we're playing, unfortunately, is not one with Mikey in it. It's just a song that I don't know, you know, time frame. I should have thought about it longer, but I did listen through the album. I thought this one is probably the one that suits radio the most of album.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's kind of why we chose Best Life,
yes,
which has got Alpha singing on the hook.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, anyone who wants to check it out, Raw Lapse, it's a 5-track EP, and it basically is Raw, the best parts of Raw, rewritten and refabricated into 5 songs that we're actually really proud of, and they're gonna be they're everywhere on our streaming, and we will, you know, we believe in it.
Yeah,
and it kind of, to me,
so check it out on Spotify.
Then. Yeah, me and Simon felt like it did it justice.
Okay, well, I think we might play it.
Yeah, go for it.
All right, this is Best Life featuring Alpha for SSMP.
It's a dark side jam, money gang and Apex. Got you feeling every rhythm like your body's in sync. To the beat, now bounce with it while you're having a drink. A little way down skunk, now the party's crunk. Middle finger in the air if your wheel is getting drunk. I'm talking Jimmy, Jack, Johnny and Ted. Tequila, whiskey, bourbon, rum and all of his friends. Get the gang on the mic and turn the beat up. Pass the J to the left, we smoking trees up. I can read your poker face to bring that lady guy.
Well, wasn't that great? Best Life featuring Alpha.
Shout out to Alpha, Apex Productions, Apex Music Group, Apex everything.
Yes.
He's a legend, like, and he'll go down in my top 5 rappers I ever worked with for sure, and not just because of his musical and rapping legendariness. He's just a dude. You can talk to him, and he's just a dude.
I was just going to say the exact thing. I was going to be like, whatever he says, I'm going to throw in he's a dude. And then you just ripped it out of my mouth.
He's just a dude.
You didn't get a chance, did you?
I still did it.
It's funny because, like, Simon wasn't rapping a lot at that time. We were going through a different period, and I was doing some solo stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I was kind of just dragging Simon into my stuff. And
that was for the Dark Side.
Yeah, I did some Dark Side albums. Mm-hmm. And so I did those and wrote some pretty personal tracks and all of that stuff. And that's where Alpha came from. It's just out of the blue. He hit me up, like, I heard one of your songs on YouTube. You know, like, would you be keen to work on a track? And, like, at that point in time, like, no Aussie rapper ever said that to me. Like, it was, you know, we worked with a lot of guys, but it was generally because they'd be in our studio. hear a song and they'd be like, oh, I love that song, can I jump on it? And we'd be like, yeah. But no dude ever actually came out and said, and it's the same thing for Syme. The first verse, apart from me probably asking him, it was for Alpha, like on a on a cypher we did for him, a big track.
Or a while back,
on his album.
Yeah, that was a good long cypher.
That was the album that he did with Factor before we did. I can't remember what it's called, to be honest. It was, I think
it was a lot to remember, isn't it?
That's not the A-Factor, was it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go.
Oh, I remember. Well, not so much.
Well done, Syme. See, you don't have to worry.
A-Factor, that was a great album. Great album. Yeah. Shout out to Alpha, man.
And Factor, actually, while we're talking about him.
Yeah, well, we're about to talk about him a lot more.
Can I ask, how is Starkiller going?
Oh, he's all right.
Yeah.
I don't know. Where is he?
Did I
say it right this time?
Yeah, no, that was good.
No, we don't do a lot of solo stuff, you know, and even when I do solo stuff, it's generally because we run at a very, at the moment, we're not.
No.
Because we're at a point in our careers where we want to enjoy the songs we're writing, so we don't just want to push out a million songs. We want to enjoy them. And a lot of my solo work comes from me being over the top and just
can't
turn it off. So I can stay busy. So I write more songs and we get to a point and it's like Syme just chills back for a minute, but I always drag him into it. Yeah. And that's why any solo stuff I've ever done is 75% of it he's probably on.
Yes.
But,
you
know, he always set out, you know what I mean, he set out to do your one album and he did it.
And he did it,
And just... if it was up to me, nothing would get done.
No,
and that's like I'm not. I'm not trying to knock myself by saying that. It's just I've heard it so many times before, and not really with songwriting, more with like other sorts of writing. But like a writer's best friend is a deadline. So if he goes to me, "Oi, I want to do this song on Friday," like you guarantee I'm gonna have it done by Friday. But if he didn't say that, it's not gonna be done on Friday.
No.
So like I've always been a big fan of being told like I need it done. Yeah. Otherwise, I just won't do it because I'm slack. Like it's just
well, you're a bit more laid back, shall we say? Yeah,
but in all honesty, like you meet like all the groups, duos, whatever you want to call them, that we've ever come in contact with, they last a year and a half and they're flop because they can't get along because they butt heads because one wants to do this, one wants to do that. We play our parts, you know what I mean? And people always mistake that for our career and it's always kind of, we've turned our nose up at it because they don't understand. They think, oh, Dan does this or whatever or blah, 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 blah. So no, we play our parts. I wouldn't even do it without him. So it's like, you might think that I'm the one driving it all, but I wouldn't even be bothered to drive it if I didn't have my best mate riding shotgun. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? Because it inspires me. Yeah. Like, I need to be inspired to do things. So it goes both ways.
It does go both ways.
Like, I might set the deadline, but the deadline wouldn't be there if I didn't have an intention thinking, oh, yeah, when we do this, science and this, blah, blah. You know, I have visions in my head.
And how you produce it all together.
Yeah, about
and
how we're going to do these songs, what we're going to do, the album. We set it all out. But it goes both ways. And, since day one, it's always been that way. We play our part.
That's right.
A lot of groups can't do that. And, you know, I watched the show.
The special relationship you both have, though.
But I watch shows with Drink Champs. It's like Noriega. It's an American rappers that I grew up loving from Nori and Capone and all of that.
Right.
But they have a show called Drink Champs where they interview like legends of hip hop.
Okay.
And so they've interviewed a few like of my favorite groups. I mean, rest in peace, Prodigy. He could never do it, but they've had Havoc on there. But one of my favorite groups, M.O.P. Mm-hmm. I had them on there only a few months ago and I watched it. And just the way they talk about each other and the respect they have for each other, it really made me realize that there's a special few out there that can do this.
That's right.
So, you know, we are one unit. Yeah. We are two people, but we are one unit. And when I do solo stuff, like I said, it's always intentioned for him to be involved in it. And it goes the other way. When he did his solo album.
Yeah. I think you're on everything but two.
No, that's what I mean. It's like, we've always been that way.
I don't. Every song I write, I almost expected you to be on it anyway. Like, it's kind of just how we do things. Yeah. The only difference between like me, it being my album, was me going like, I want it to be like this. You know, a little bit less effects, like a little bit more raw. Like, that was the difference. It was just more like, it was always going to be like a double S&P project, just
flipped around a little bit.
Mm. Well, that's perfect. Like all of our solo albums are always a double S&P project. It's just who's in the driver's seat
at that time. Yeah,
you know what I mean. Like when Syme did his album, like he said, he wanted it to be this way, so I mix it this way.
Yes,
he wanted these people on it, so we had those people on it. Yeah. Like when I do it, no one's telling me, so I kind of go over the top. So my albums like Tales in the Dark Side, 38 Summers, they're overproduced. That's why I put all my lo-fi vocals in there and all the collaborations, 100 collabs. Like, you know, I just lose it because I think, I'm just going to do this, and you know what I mean? But when it's a double S&P project, have more of a, like, criteria.
Yeah.
Where, you know.
And we do sit down and make decisions together and stuff. Yeah. Like, rather than just being like, hey, bro, can we do it like this? It's more like we'll just talk to each other about what we want. You know?
And a lot of groups you meet, they talk shit about the person they are in the group with.
Yes, and that's not a good thing, and that can be in life as well. But it's just the way it is,
and I don't mean any disrespect by it. I mean as a special kind of breed. It's like over the years, we've met a lot of people, and like when the dude is in the group, the other dude leaves.
Yes.
He just start talking a bit of rubbish, and it's like you never find anybody. I dare you to, I mean, not even dare. I get you to search the world and try and find someone who will tell you that Syme talked crap behind my back. Or the other way around.
It wouldn't happen.
You won't find it. You just won't find it.
If anything, it's the opposite. If someone starts talking crap about him, I'll be like, not quite like that.
It's just a bit different.
Like, wrong person to say that.
It's just a bit different, and it takes a different breed to almost to be able to do that and to have somebody else's dreams meshed into yours.
And that is a good thing. Because
go ahead.
Oh, just so that's a good thing because, you know, you're not just best friends. You're probably closer being brothers.
No, dude.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Mm. I answer the phone saying brother. I don't do that for everybody. But all I was going to say too is it's like, not that there's no competition. Like,
oh, we always compete.
I spent the first 5-6 years of my, like, I suppose, career. Trying to be as good as him.
Yeah.
And that, as much as it's not competition, so to speak, it's like you want to, like, you know, oh, he set a benchmark, I've got to be that good. Yeah. Oh, Syme's that good now I've got to set the benchmark. And like, it's not about being better than each other. It's about being better for each other or bettering each other.
It's not about being better than each other. No. It's about bettering each other.
Yeah, and that, bringing out the best in each other.
Yeah, and we do. That's the difference. Yeah. Like, we don't work together, our stuff's not as good. It never has been. I mean, not as good because I have written some songs that I really value, but they're not the same.
Not the same.
They're totally different. I have to change the whole aspect point of view. You know, and that's why Dark Side DBG albums, apart from 38 Summers, that was ignorant, and so was Tales of the Dark Side. That was just for me trying to do my my ultimate gangster stuff. But yeah, Syme is like massively involved in those albums. They were basically double S&P albums. Just
shows that you worked
just
well
looked
together.
Out of my eyes. You know, the way I envisioned it without asking Syme, essentially. But still saving a place for him at the table.
Oh, of course. Naturally.
But yeah, getting way off track there. But
we're talking about this next track at all?
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. So after we did that Raw Lapse, we'd been doing so much music and going back to the Big Show and the Bad Guys being such a massive album of 20 tracks. Like, we'd always planned to do the t-shirt you've got on.
Yep.
We'd always planned to do Dope Fiction Part 2 with Factor because Factor was like monumental to us. Like, we hold that guy so high. He's the greatest producer we've ever worked with. Mm-hmm. Like, personality, beats, everything. We hold that guy so high that we even forget to mention him sometimes because it's like the same thing. He's just a brother. Like, we just know he's there and we've come to depend on it. And so after we'd finished the Raw Lapse and Big Show, Bad Guys, we didn't feel like we owed him anything, but we knew that we needed to get back to do number two because we'd always envisioned it.
Yeah.
And so we kind of, when we did Dope Fiction 1 was when we first kind of started working with Factor. He'd done a few beats for us and a lot of respect flying around the room. And he was, you know, like, I want you guys to work with my friends, blah, blah, blah. So he brought in all the artists, essentially, on that album and helped us connect with a lot of them in a deeper way. And so when we did Dope Fiction 2, we still reached out to the ones that were you know, that became brothers, like Steve Mack, another one, shout out Steve Mack, and KTEL, shout out KTEL, and who else on Alpha, and Factor himself. But we said the Factor, we want to show you our side of it.
Yeah.
So we brought in Kuchester, Mikey.
Yep.
We have Benzin. Who else do we bring in? Jolie, a longtime friend. We got Joel in. Someone when me and Simon started rapping back in 2010. Like when we were in a group called OMB. Shout out Ozzy. keep it strong, brother. He's going through some stuff. But yeah, we were in a group, OMB, like that was a group I was in since 2004, but we kind of branched out, and that's when Syme first started rapping with us.
Okay.
And Joel. So yeah, we brought all of our homies into this one.
Yeah.
Which changed it a lot.
All right.
And the song that we're going to play is a song dear to us because it's called Southside.
Mm-hmm.
And we've always said this. People don't understand it. They always think, oh, you rep Southside, you must be from Noarlunga. So no. Because I'm from a metal background, and we were always, Double Dragon, the band I was in, we were always considered a southern band because we played on a national scale. So I don't think of it like Elizabeth and Noarlunga that. I don't think of it. So we're not, to me, we represent South Australia of the southern hemisphere. You know what I mean? That's where it comes from.
Yes.
And the song Southside that you're about to play, Syme talks about growing up in Parafield Gardens.
Yes.
KTEL talks about, you know, what made him love hip-hop.
Yes.
And I talk about coming from New Zealand to Australia. And, you know, we all talk about what made us love hip-hop. And that's kind of what this song is. It's a love song to the south of Australia and how we got here to this point in time. And yeah, massive shout out to KTEL for doing the hook and doing a killer verse like he always does. We had to reach out to him because he was the spotlight of the first album. And then, yeah, Factor, just always, anything you want to throw in.
So everybody involved in this track, Southside?
Yeah.
By WSMP.
Best friend, it's been us until the end.
Started all in the south side.
I never meant to offend, it's never been a trend. And if I had to start again,
I'd do it all in the south side.
Since I picked up a pen and made it my best friend, it's been us until the end.
Started all in the south side.
I never meant to offend, it's never been a trend. And if I had to start again,
I'd do it all in the south side.
Since the kid in PG, before I had a pen, I had the rhythm to lead me. I was living for.
Excellent. The work just gets better and better. Doesn't it, guys?
Appreciate that.
That's the hope, yeah.
Well, it does. It does. Sounds really good. And I have to say, because I did go through and play a few of yours off the old Spotify account, and it sounded really, really good via the streaming as well. So it's good. I mean, I'm not a big streamer. I only stream when I'm in the car.
Yeah. I'm a massive streamer.
Yeah, I like it.
But as weird as it is, like, We're working on some new songs now.
Mm-hmm.
We did Dope Fiction 2. We finished that, and as I was saying to you, we felt a bit. We just needed a bit of break.
Yes.
Just to recollaborate.
Yeah. Recharge your batteries.
When you do four albums back to back, loading the next one before you've even finished the one you're doing, it just We'd done it heaps, and then we'd realised with Dope Fiction 2 we needed to do that. And then once we'd done that, we needed to decompress.
Mm.
And so, yeah, we just took a minute away. But we didn't go away because the studio still runs. We've still got friends that are in there. So we're still always sitting there thinking, not yet.
Yeah.
But, yeah, there's some beats, some songs.
And I might have to get you to do a mismatch one for me.
For sure.
Oh, yeah.
Little stinger.
Yeah, for sure. But it's funny because we weren't kind of expecting it. The next song you'll play, Essay to LA, we were like in a point where we were just decompressing after such a massive run of albums we loved, and we just didn't want to release something burnt in a sense, so we wanted to go away for a minute. And it's, as a rapper, like I'm sure Simon's the same. I mean, I can't speak for him, but sometimes when I don't rap for 3 months, I come back different.
Oh, okay.
You come back and you'll think differently. When you've been doing them so back to back to back, you're in a mind frame. And so you keep staying in that mind frame. When you stop for a minute, like, and you think and you listen. See, that's hard. Like, that's the thing. I'm sure every musician out there listening to us right now, when you are writing music, you love, I mean, everyone loves themselves. And if you don't, you probably shouldn't be doing music. You know what I mean? Like, or you deeply hate yourself and your music's probably very dark, but it still may be very good. But, you know, you have to really love what you're doing. You know what I mean?
Especially rap. There's so much ego involved in hip hop. Like, you need to actually have that sort of love and confidence in yourself.
Very true.
So, yeah, we just kind of took a minute away, decompressed.
Yeah.
And it was just funny, like out of the blue, like I'm just sitting there and Instagram fires up and shout out Dub Man. he just hits me up and he goes, "Hey, bro, I've reviewed your track." Because that's a big thing these days. People listen to your music and they review it live. Mm-hmm. Right, and he goes, "I've reviewed your track. If you're interested, like check it out."
Yes.
So I went to his website from bummytomoney.com. But, yeah, he was actually on a YouTube video, like you said before.
Yeah.
Mm.
And so, yeah, he's on a live stream on the YouTube, and he reviewed our song Rear View off of The Big Show.
Oh,
yeah,
yes.
With Chico.
With the homie Chico. Shout out to Chico. And from the Dirtbags. Mm-hmm. We did a track with him, Rear View. And it was really funny because at first I didn't know how, you know, when you first put it on and watch it, and he's, like, reviewing the song before us, and he's quite harsh on it.
He
was quite harsh on it. He said, "Oh, it's all right, but you need to do this, you need to do that, you need to do this."
Okay.
And and he's from like Crenshaw, like LA, like Nipsey Hussle, and we're all, you know, lots of
Adelaide boys.
Hardcore rappers, you know, rappers me and Simon love are from that area.
Okay.
And yeah, so he's from there, and our song, it's this thing, what's it called? What's that site called? I can't even remember. Slaps or something?
Slaps, yeah.
I think it was. So there's a song where when you put your music up on Spotify, they have other ways to promote yourself. And there was this website thingy involved to it, DistroKid.
Yep.
Called Slaps or something. And I just put a few of our songs up on there.
Oh,
and
it tried
just so,
out.
Yeah, it just so happened that at that point in time he was doing his review show. So he was going through newer tracks, didn't know who we were.
No.
And I remember watching the video and the first thing he says is, these guys are blah, 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 Southside Money Posse or SSMP, and they say this is classic hip-hop. And he doesn't sound very confident in it.
Right.
He's very clear to be like, "That's not me saying it, that's these guys saying it."
These guys.
Right. So if it's not that, don't blame me.
But he wasn't being like, you know, he's
just covering his bases.
He's respectful, but he's covering his bases. And and he's just like, "They say it's classic hip-hop," and he pushes play. And you watch him and he's just for a minute, he's just kind of sitting there. And then, as soon as it starts rapping and everything, you just see his head starts bopping. And he's loving it. And he's
grinning.
Yeah, and he lights up a joint and starts smoking it.
Oh,
and
my God.
He's carrying on. I mean, we don't condone that stuff.
No, of course.
He was like carrying on and he was loving it, bopping his head around. And at the end of the song, he's like, "Damn, that was fire." And he's like losing it. Yeah. And he's like saying it's wicked, like, you know, blah, blah, blah. Check these guys out. And so, it was just pretty, like, pretty surreal for us because our music doesn't get played. I mean, it may in Los Angeles or whatever, but for him to play it and then to be like blah 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 and saying like, "I really, really love the vocal," and it was like a turnaround for us.
A weird little reversal.
Because our entire careers, everyone's always said I'm the one with the accent. You know, Dan raps like this and, you know, Simon's the more Aussie one, this and that and blah, blah, blah.
Yep.
And he's listening to the song and he's like, "The first guy's going off, the second guy, he's definitely from the West Coast." And he's like, "Hey, even the dude at the end with the accent, he's killer." Like, you know, and it was just funny because we'd never seen it that way before.
No one's ever been, I've never been referred to as the guy with the accent. But then I suppose if you're in LA,
this is the accent.
I watched it, we watched it, we hit him back and said, "Nah, killer, man, really appreciate it." You know what I mean?
That's lovely.
Like, and he was like, "We got to work together.
We
got to do a song together."
And so this is it coming up?
And we were like, damn straight, like, we'll do a song. And then he sent back the verse and it blew us away and got my homie Leroy Liggy involved. Shout out to Liggs, man, if you're listening.
Yeah.
our longtime brother, and he got his wife involved, Elena, and it just here we go. Yeah. Play it.
Well, I'll bet you then. Okay, so SA to LA, SMP.
That's it.
And Elena did get in touch on my Facebook page, so she knows you're on tonight.
Oh, she's amazing.
Okay, she is.
She really is.
So nice when we collaborate with other people, isn't it?
No, that was a beauty because, like I said, it was unexpected. It's like me and Storm have certain things that have happened in our career that we consider little gifts from the hip-hop gods, and that was one of them because it was unexpected. It was nothing but, like,
it was, I don't know what to say. It was literally just, like, out of thin air. Like, oh, really?
And it was a gift. It was it was killer to work with Dub Man. And he killed it. And Leroy, Licky killed it. Elena did killer backups. Me and Syme got a chance to, because we knew it was going to get played over there because he has an audience. So, we wanted to put our best foot forward. So, it was just a little gift, and it was really cool to do. And
and it gives you even more confidence, doesn't it?
And it came at a time when we didn't want to take on a project. No. Like I said to you, we were decompressing. Yeah. We didn't want to take on an album. Yeah. So
should have a folder.
So one little song that was like cool, like, you know, and inspired us and was different.
Yeah.
And it was cool to do it. Yeah. And it was just a little.
And especially with a streaming platform, you don't have to do an album.
It's just one of those things. Like, I mean, like Dan said before, the song is like this dude, like his neck of the woods is where so many of our favourite rappers come from.
Yeah.
And now we know that at least one song we've written has been played around that area. And it's like, that's just something cool to think about.
As well, to add to that, like, his neck of the woods, like Syme said, like, if he thinks our stuff's cool, maybe if we actually did push our stuff over there, maybe they would all think it's cool. Who knows?
Well, who knows?
We're slack. You know, that's that's always been our biggest Achilles heel, is the fact that we don't do music.
I didn't mean to cut you off there. I was just going to say, maybe in the future, when you've got more time for that, I'm talking like when you start to, you know, go into the next phase of your lives, that you might be able to do that.
I don't know. It's always, to us, it's always been about the love of the music, not getting love for the music.
No,
if you know what I mean. So these little things that happen, like the Dirtbags album that we were honoured to do with Chico and Monster Ganja, like that was another gift. We consider these things.
Certain gigs that like you said, that Dirtbags album.
They're just gifts, you know. Cause we've worked hard doing our music. Whether people see it that way or not, it's up to them. But we've worked hard putting our music out to a high standard that when someone that you respect, or some people from a place that you think, hang on, like, how do they hear our music?
Yes.
It's just nice. It's just nice when that happens.
Yeah.
Because people in our own neck of the woods, Australia's very bad for that. They like to rip you down, you know, like, oh, you're this or you're that. Or just because they're insecure in their own abilities, they feel that they need to project it onto the next person. Whereas the biggest haters are generally like, they don't really like themselves. You know what I mean? They're not just hating you. They probably hate themselves as well.
Yeah.
You know, there's nothing you can say to me and Syme, like whoever you are, like, you know, that would really affect us mentally or spiritually. We're still going to do it.
Well, that's right.
And we might even take a shot at you on the way. Like, you know, that's what I mean.
Might be just dropped into a song.
Yeah.
Well, you might get a whole song written about you.
Without saying
And why not?
Yeah.
Why
just,
not?
You know, you're lucky
why
you
not?
Said that. I was about to just throw it out there.
but it's just, you know, but with all that being said, it was about, about 2 months ago. We decided, all right, time. This game on. So we got some new tunes happening.
Beautiful.
We've got, yeah, we've got your favourite, Parks from Wax On, Wax Off, Mr. Miyagi.
Yes, I do like that one.
When we announced it, well, not announced, I put up an Instagram story saying that we're about ready to do some new stuff. Yeah, he was one of the first people to come back to us and say, like, we need to get something rolling. So, yeah, and we've got Steve Mack and Luke Leach. Shout out.
Wonderful.
Luke Leach. Mm-hmm. I don't think I've shouted him out yet.
Yeah.
We've got a track that was meant to be on my album, but we called that off to get into Dope Fiction and Relapse because it was just the same thing. It was getting out of control. But we've kept that one aside and we've started working on that too. And now we've got a song that Simon's leaning towards where we're maybe attacking someone we don't really like. And that's hip hop, it's competitive.
Yes.
Motivation.
And then we got Gichester rolling in, we got Benson coming in a couple of weeks.
He's a talented artist too, isn't he?
Everyone we work with is, and we are so grateful for the people that we have around us.
Yeah.
Like, we can't say that enough.
No.
Without them, there'd be no us. Because,
Yeah.
We're songwriters. We're rappers, but we're songwriters and we don't just want to have a song that's a rap.
No.
That's why I've never been able to vibe with certain music because I need songs.
Yeah.
That's why I treasure people like Gichester, Liggy, Elena, Sean Russ, like Luke Leach. Like people that we've worked with that like don't necessarily rap on our tracks, but they transform the whole vibe.
Yeah.
And that's kind of, that's kind of been one of the biggest things and part of our sound with SSMP is not just, that's where the name comes from. It's not just.
That's right. Southside, Money Posse, I haven't forgotten.
Yeah, but Southside is because that's where we're from.
Yeah.
And that's what we consider.
That's right.
Money was always because money makes the world go round.
That's right.
And Posse was because we don't roll alone. We never have. We roll with a posse. We have a gang of people and they might be in and out. It might be a rotating door. They might come in for a few songs and we don't see them for a bit. But
Yeah,
we've got a gang of stuff happening and we've got something new coming. So for all the people out there thinking we haven't dropped an album in a while, we've got something coming. We're working on something.
Yes.
But just a little side note that we should talk about the song, the last song we're going to play before we get out of here.
That'd be nice, yes.
Is Live for the Hustle, which is a song, the first song me and Simon ever wrote together in 2010.
Yep.
So long ago.
It's been revamped.
At your old dad's house. Your old dad's house. Emmanuel's house in Salisbury.
Yes.
And shout out Emmanuel.
This song's the result of me taking a sickie. We've got
to
write it
somewhere. You got to have a roof over your head at least. So don't
you? Yeah, it's funny because it wasn't meant to happen that way. I went round there to see the boys because he lived with a couple of dudes and we were all friends and no one was home.
No.
So it was just like me and Simon were there. And like I said, we've been doing music with O&B a little bit and it was just like, let's do a song. So we wrote this song initially in 2010. We've done it about four times because we did it another Dr. Dre remix.
Yeah.
And then we did it again on NWO over the Dr. Dre beat again, Jay-Z, Trouble. I'm in Trouble again. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then we dormanted it, but we thought we needed to do the 15-year or 14-year, like whatever it is year. We thought, I said, we were out of time. We were decompressing. Like, we didn't have to write the lyrics because they were there. Mm. We had Sean did a special hook for us. Shout out to Sean Russ. He's doing his acoustic stuff now. He's killing it.
Yes.
Brilliant. But, so basically that's about all we got to say today. It's always good to see you. But
you've been busy as per normal, even though you've had a break or a little bit of a wind down. You're certainly starting to kick it up now.
Yeah, definitely.
So this track, Live for the Hustle for 2023. Thank you, Danny.
We live for the hustle.
So thank you, Danny.
It's always good to see you.
And yes, I'm glad you came in again. And thank you, Simon. Well, maybe we'll come in maybe for a checkup next year as well.
Yeah, we'll do number 8 in February next year.
Yeah. It'll be number 8. Yeah.
And by that time, we'll have a new album.
Wonderful, thank you. And here it is, Live for the Hustle 2023, and it's from SSMP.
Yo.
I got time on the grind, keep that money on my mind. It's not about when, it's only a matter of time. This show never ends, let's keep on going for the ride. It's not about them, money game. Thanks to bang a double S&P. Sitting real low, man, we ride real slow. Got the beat.